with me in studio, our science correspondent, George Lee. And, you know, George, we're all awaiting the news of the latest restrictions this evening. There's been a lot of talk about communication, about clarity of the message, some criticism about miscommunication or lack of clarity last Tuesday when we got this Stage 5 plan. The question is the buy-in, getting public buy-in. And it's clear, you know, anyone who talks to anyone listens to radio programmes. There's an awful lot of people scratching their heads in Dublin, and I'm sure in other counties that have been locked down before this as well. Say, how come it's OK to go to school, or how come it's OK to get on a bus or a train or even a plane, but I can't go to a restaurant where there's social hygiene, socially distanced, masks? What gives?
Well, there's so much in terms of trying to judge the situation and also to weigh up the competing priorities. And as you know, the schools and education is a priority because if they're not working, an awful lot of people can't go to work themselves. And they're also aware, for instance, in schools, or at least they really believe the scientific evidence shows that the cases in schools in the main are just a reflection of the community rather than transmission within the school. So in the case of airplanes, they're saying they're very specialised air filtering systems, which are as good as mm-hmm. a surgical ward. So they have all of the answers for all of these things. But there's no doubt that there are big questions with regard to people buying in, particularly lobby groups, actually, and pressure groups and interest groups and so on.
And in fairness, like, we all get where they're, if this is your livelihood, if you have restocked your pub a couple of times, you know, in the hope that finally the restrictions were going to be lifted and you could go back to trying to wear a crust, and suddenly you're told again you can't.
But I do honestly wonder, when I hear stuff like that, these people aren't living on the blooming moon, you know. They know where we have been since March. They have a particular position and they're all in pain economically and socially because of it, like us all. And unfortunately, because of the sectors that they're in a sector where you do have transmission. They know that. So they don't want it to happen. But they do see, as you say, exemptions been made for some areas and they're wondering why. Well, I'll give you an example now today. Professor Philip Nolan is picking up on this argument, and I'm very struck by the fact that people from NPHET now have to do this. They're engaging, basically trying to explain the arguments that the people who are lobbying politically are putting to politicians.
But it is important, this as well, isn't it, George? Because however often it has to be explained, if you are asking people to live in the
you
new
have
normal,
to explain
if you
it.
Are asking
you must
people to live with new restrictions, and if you are asking people to accept that their livelihood has gone out the window, they need to understand why.
100%. But we have been, well, people have been explaining it now since March. So we
explain
do.
It
I,
again,
I think
Philip
people
Nolan
do
say?
Understand.
What's
I think
Philip
people
Nolan
complain.
Say?
What he's saying is, look, this whole issue of talking about closing restaurants and pubs, why do we have to do it when there are so few outbreaks in those areas? He said the people are making those arguments, he says, on behalf of NPHET, basically, they're misreading and misinterpreting the data about outbreaks. What he says is that when you effectively, if you're out in a restaurant and you are with a group and you pick up the virus grows within you invisibly for 3 days. For the next 2 days, you begin to shed the virus and you develop symptoms and you go for a test. Now, the testing thing is so, I remember what they're trying to do. They're trying to stop the spread of the virus. So they're trying to get ahead of it. Who have you met in the last 48 hours? Where is it going to break out next? They're concentrating on that. They're not going back 5 days. They're not going back and saying, were you in a restaurant or were you in a pub or somewhere or a hotel 5 days ago? And so when you look at the data, in that case, that individual, he said, will turn out to be a community acquired infection, and his household who picked it up are now a household infection. So you see all the numbers which are saying, oh, you have a huge increase in and most of the cases and clusters are in households. They don't say where did the household actually originally get it, because nobody really knows. And what he's saying is all of the evidence suggests that it's coming from wherever people are socially interacting up to 5 days beforehand. And he said that turns out to be pubs, restaurants and all of those other things like gyms and so on. And said so to say that there's no outbreaks in pubs and restaurants or those places, obviously not in pubs, we haven't had the wet pubs open, he said that is misreading the data. It's not saying that that's not where it happens, and that's why he says that it's so important to close down those social interactions. What they said is that it's linear. If you reduce your social interactions by half, you will reduce the reproduction of this virus by half, no matter where they are. And so that's why why they're driving that home. And they say, if we don't do it, we'll have more deaths, we'll have more colleges closed, we'll have all sorts of stuff in terms of economic shocks. And we'll be, and basically that's what they're saying. We've 79 people in hospital today, which is up an awful lot. Yeah. You've got the situation in some cases in Dublin where it's or elsewhere where the growth rate is astronomical in the past week, and it still is.
I heard Dr. Mary Favier, who's a GP and also on NEFA committee. She was talking in a personal capacity this morning with Claire Byrne, but she was saying, what's the alternative? This disease is growing. It's growing at an extremely worrying rate in Dublin. It's growing exponentially. If we don't take the measures we're likely to see this evening, however unpalatable, what's the alternative?
And this is it. This is exponential growth. When you think about it, you take Dublin Northwest, it's got three times the national average. It's growing at twice the average rate. And you've got places like, let's say, Louth. It's tripled in Louth in its incidence in a week. It's all over the country. All the figures are saying it. If you do nothing about this, this is exponential growth. We know where it leads to. This virus spreads. You have the story in Tullamore today. It spreads so easily. It hasn't changed.
And we see in other countries dealing with the second wave. We'll be hearing more about it later in the programme.
And it's not us just.
ICUs full, hospitals under pressure, appeals going out to the rest of the country. And none of us want to end up there. Okay, we'll hear what we hear later this evening. For the moment, George Lee, science correspondent. Thank you very much indeed for that.